It certainly is a great honor for me to be here. We always enjoy the opportunities we have to come home and the opportunities that we have to be with you. We love this church and we love the work that this church is doing, not only in this community, but across the U.S. and through the world. And now you're one of my supporters as well, and so I thank you for supporting our work that we can take the gospel to other countries, and you are doing that through us. The lessons for this gospel meeting have been assigned to me, and that's good and bad. I like to study things, and sometimes when you get topics that are assigned to you, you may study things that you otherwise wouldn't study, and that's good for me. But it's hard on me as well, because preachers tend to go in gospel meetings, and they tend to go and preach their favorite sermons, things that they've prepared, and so they don't have as much work to do on the front end as maybe this meeting has challenged me to do. But I'm ahead of schedule of where I usually am, because I came with one lesson already done, and so that's pretty good for me. There are many times when I go and I don't have a lesson done, and I study and work while I am there, and I have since that time got another lesson done and am working on a third lesson, and so we're going to get there before the week is over, and it'll be good for me because I'll study a lot this week and prepare things hopefully that will be useful to you. But this lesson I preached last week, and so this is the one lesson that I have preached before, and that's okay. One of our elders and his wife and children are with us today, and so he's heard this lesson, and so he'll tell me whether or not I did it as well this week as I did it last week. I have tweaked it a little bit, so maybe it'll be a little smoother today than it was even last week. But the first topic is, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And you may recognize that question. It's found in Psalm chapter 8. If you want to open your Bibles and go there, Psalm chapter 8, beginning in verse 3, David said, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast given him dominion over the work of thy hands, and hast put all things under him." And so here is David, and David is amazed at the thoughtfulness and the care of God. And that's what we're going to talk about primarily in this lesson. But if you can remember three words, then you can outline Psalm chapter 8 and hopefully remember the major message of this psalm. And the first word is gazed. David gazed up into the heavens. He studied the moon and the stars. The second word is amazed. David was amazed that God thought about him and that God cared for him. And then the third word is praised. David praised God for his excellence that is even above the heavens. Now, let's talk about each of those and make some applications of them. First of all, let's start with that first word, the word gazed, where David says, "When I consider the heavens." The word consider is a word that means to gaze. It means to stare at something, to study something, to give great thought to something. And that's what David was doing with the heavens, with the moon and the stars. Now, David had many occasions to do that. You remember that David grew up keeping his father's sheep. Now, you kept the sheep during the day, but the most challenging time to keep the sheep was at night, because that's when the predators were on the prowl. That's when things became more dangerous. That's when thieves would try to steal them. That's when wolves and lions and bears and other things would be on the prowl looking for an easy or free meal. And so David is out at night keeping his father's sheep. Now at night you would gather the sheep into the fold. Maybe it was a narrow passageway, or maybe it was a series of hedgerows, and you would get them inside those hedgerows, or maybe there was a stone structure of some kind and you would gather the sheep in, and then there would be an opening to come in and an opening to go out, and you would sit in that opening. You would be the door of the sheep. That's John chapter 10, what Jesus is talking about. And so David would have been the door of the sheep. And David is leaning back, watching over the sheep, making sure they don't go in and out, making sure nothing else comes in and out. And David has opportunity to stare up at the heavens. He has opportunity to give great thought and consideration to the moon and to the stars. Now, we have advantages in our world and disadvantages in our world. We have the advantage of having street lights and all kinds of outside lights, and we don't even walk out to the mailbox without the pathway being lit for us, and so we get very comfortable with all that light. But that light is a hindrance in a way, because it keeps us from fully being able to appreciate the moon and the stars as man has done for thousands of years, because we have all that light interference. It gets in our way. And that's one of the things I love about being overseas in other countries, being in the jungle and other places, is you don't have that light interference. You may have a little bit, but you don't have anything like you do in the big cities that we generally live in. And so you're able to view the moon and the stars a little bit better. And if that was your only light, how thankful and how appreciative and how considerate would you be of the fact that God gave you those lights to guide you and to protect you in the middle of the night? I remember when I was in the jungle in Peru one time, one of the men that was with me, he had been there before, and so he brought certain items that he thought they would appreciate or they could use, and he brought some flashlights that didn't run off of batteries, because they don't always have batteries or can't keep the batteries, and so he brought them one of the flashlights. You've probably seen them where you shake them and it charges the battery, and so he brought them one of those flashlights, and the young man was so excited to get that flashlight. And this is what he said. He said, "Now I can see the snakes on the trail at night." Well, I don't have to think about things like that. But he's walking down a trail and he steps on something and it moves a little bit underneath his feet. And he knows, okay, I better move as well, or he's going to get me. And so he was thankful for the light that we gave him. And David was thankful for the light that he had, the light that God had given to him. And he was considering and studying that light. He was gazing up at it. Now, in other places, David talked about how much he adored, appreciated the heavens that God had given. Psalm 19 in verses 1 through 3, you may want to turn there and look at what David said on another occasion in another place. He said, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth knowledge, and night day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." There is no language where their voice is not heard. I want you to think about what David is saying there. David is saying the heavens, they declare something. They declare the glory of God. They declare how glorious God is. Now we look up at the moon and we're impressed. We look at the stars and we are impressed. Those are amazing lights. But David said, they declare a greater light. They declare greater glory. They declare the glory of our Creator. They declare the glory of our Maker. They declare the glory of God. And I'll be honest with you, they are insufficient to declare the glory and honor of our God. That's why we need to use our voices and we need to use our lives to further declare His glory, because the heavens alone can't do that. God wants us to be a part of that giving of glory as well. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. Night unto night, that's what we're talking about. Night after night, David had occasion, he had opportunity to stare at the moon and stare at the stars and to observe the arrangement of those stars, to observe the phases of the moon, to be able to study things in that way. He's gazing up at the heavens, admiring the creation that God has given to him and thinking about what that is saying about God. You know, every nation on earth can hear that language. I travel into countries where I don't speak the language. I'm learning just a little bit here and a little bit there. finally gotten to where I can say hello and goodbye and God bless you and just a few things like that, but I still can't communicate like I would like to. And there are some countries in which I couldn't even say hello or goodbye or even the little that I can in Spanish now. But you know, there is something that's declaring the glory of God that speaks their language. And my language and your language and the language of every person on the earth. And that's the heavens, the moon and the stars. They're all saying the same thing. Somebody made me and He is glorious. David saw that and David appreciated that. And so David was gazing up at the heavens. But let's go to the second point. Because that's really the thrust of what our lesson is. That's the word amazed. And David was amazed that God thought about him and that God cared for him. David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? What is the son of man that you visit him?" When David looked at the heavens and he thought about how great they were and how glorious they were and of the detail and order of the heavens, he said, "What's man? What's man that you think about him at all? What is man that you care so much for him?" The word mindful means full mind. God thinks about us fully. God's mind is filled with us. God's mind is filled with our concerns, our lives. He's mindful of us. He visits us. He cares about us. He doesn't just look down at us, think about us, but it's with great care and great love that He does that. We're going to talk about that. But David was amazed that God did that. Now, David will ask this same question another time in the Psalms. Remember, David's a shepherd boy. He spends night after night looking up at the heavens, and this question and these thoughts have come up more than once. Psalm 144 in verse 3. "Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him?" Here we have the same basic thought. We have different words that help us to take these two passages and understand exactly what's being said. In Psalm 8, he says mindful. Here he says taketh knowledge. There he talks about visiting. Here he talks about making account. You want to know what it is to visit somebody? It means to make account of them. It means to go out and to study and to see what their needs are. When the Bible says that we are to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, it means we go out there and we survey what their needs are. We see what they need. And we have the intention of meeting or fulfilling those needs. That's what God does with us. He's mindful of us. He thinks about us. God visits us. God sees what our needs are and God meets those needs. Same idea here, makest account or taketh knowledge. It's the idea of an accountant taking up an account of what's there, what's been bought, what's been sold, what's left, what's missing, all of those things. That's what God's doing with us. Now, David thought in connection of this thought, what is man, that's with the backdrop of the moon and the stars. And he names a number of things that God does. He says that God's mindful of us. He says that God visits us. But notice what he says in the next verse, verse 5. "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels." I don't know if you fully appreciate what he's saying here. You probably don't unless you understand that the word angels here is the word Elohim. God made us a little lower than Himself. Here's God, and God made us just a little lower than Himself. And David is saying, "What is man that you think about him? What is man that you care about him? What is man that you made him just a little lower than you?" But he doesn't stop there. "And crownest him with glory and honor." What is man that you've crowned him? Not just you made him, not just that you think about him, not just that you care about him, not just that you made him a little lower than yourself, but that you crowned him. You gave Him glory and honor. You didn't just make Him. You made Him in your own image. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. What is man that you made him just a little lower than yourself and that you made him in your own image? And then he says in the next verse, and gavest him dominion over the works of your hand. What is man that you gave him charge? What is man that you put him in charge of all of this? You made all of this and you put him in charge. You made him the caretaker of this. Just as you care for him, now he is to care for this. What is man that you did that for him? What is man that you put all things under his feet? I want you to think about something. Just challenge your thinking. You go back and you study and you look at it for yourself. But you go back to man in the garden. All things are under his feet. You know what? One of the things that is under his feet in the garden? Death. Death is under his feet in the garden. You ever thought about that? God says, but of this tree, don't eat of that tree. And if man had not eaten of that tree, death would not have gotten out from under man's feet. Man could eat of the tree of life and live. But when man ate of the wrong tree, what came into the world? Death came into the world. Death got out from under his dominion. Got out from under his feet. Jesus came to put death back in death's place. Jesus came, and the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As you think about the dominion that God gave man. Wow! What is man that God cares about him and thinks about him in that kind of way? But he does. And David knew that he did. And often in the Psalms, he will talk about that. But David's thinking about man in consideration of the moon and the stars in the heavens. And he's thinking about, you know, that moon looks like it's going to be there forever. And those stars, they look like they're going to be there forever. And David said, I'm getting older. I'm getting more feeble. I'm growing. I'm changing. And I see that happening to those that are around about me. What is man that you're mindful of him? What is the son of man that you visit him? The two words that he uses for man and son of man are words. The first one is Enosh. And the second one is Adamah or Ben-Adam. And that word, both of those words refer to the weakness and the frailty of man. What is weak man that you're so mindful of him? What is the son of man? What is son of dust? That's what it is. God made man from the dust of the earth. What is this one that you made from the dust that you care so much for him? He came from the dust. He's going back to the dust. Why do you care about him? Why do you love him so much? David's amazed that God does that. He knows that God knows how frail we are. Psalm 39 in verse 4, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Help me to understand how frail I am. But he says that God knew this, Psalm 103 and verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God knows our frame. He knows how frail we are. He knows how weak we are. He knows that we were made from dust. Job 25 and verse 6, Job uses the man, son of man language. Same language we have here. And in both cases, he calls man a worm. What is, how much less man that is a worm and the son of man, which is a worm? Now you think about a worm. Can you get lower than a worm? I mean, a worm is about as low as you can go. Worm laying on the earth, sometimes in the earth. That's about as low as you can go. And here's Job saying, man's a worm. Son of man, he's a worm. That's the level of man. That's where man is. That's what David is saying. He's frail. He's weak. He's made from dust. But you care about him. You love him. And he's amazed that God does that. Psalm 115 and verse 12. He says, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. The Lord's been mindful of us. We sing that song, right? We're going to talk about it at the end of the lesson. The Lord has been mindful of us. His mind is filled with thoughts of us and care for us. Psalm 56 and verse 8 is a verse that I love. It's a verse that refers to a custom that probably we don't know anything about. It's a custom that David would have known something about, special to him. And as we learn about it, it becomes special to us because it tells us something about the care of our God. Thou tellest my wonderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Thou tellest, you write my wonderings. Now, with David, that has special meaning, right? With David, because of David's early life, when David is fleeing from Saul and he's running around in the wilderness and he's backtracking, he goes this way and then he backtracks trying to lose Saul because Saul wants to kill him, and hiding in this cave and hiding in this hole and doing this and doing that, trying to evade Saul all of this time. He says, God, you've been writing my path. Pretty hard to keep up with where I am. If anybody ever gets a good beat on where I am, Saul's going to find me and kill me. And so I'm trying to cover my tracks. But God, you're writing them down. You know where I am. He says, and put my tears into thy bottle. Archaeologists tell us that those of David's day would put tears into a bottle. Little small bottle. They often had long, slender necks, and they would capture their tears and put their tears in that bottle, put a stopper in that bottle, and then place that bottle on the grave of a loved one. It was a way of saying, I miss you. I love you. I wish you were still here. Just that kind of sorrow and care. And David is saying to God, put my tears in that bottle. Care for me and love me in that way. Write them in your book. Keep a remembrance of me. That's what David is saying. And he was confident that God had that kind of care. Now, think about this. Think about how great and grand the heavens are, the moon, how big it is in the sky, and the stars, even though they're so far away, the light that they give, and we see that light. And then think about man as a little speck down here on earth. David says, what's man? That you're mindful of him. That you're thinking about him and caring for him, and that you made him just a little lower than yourself, that you crowned him, that you've given him dominion. What's man that you've done that? But then let's go even smaller than that. Let's go to the very hairs on our heads. Because Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, what does the Bible tell us that God does? Even the hairs of our heads are numbered. There's number one. Number two. Some of us, we don't go much higher than that, right? But God knows them. Not a hair falls to the ground. Not a sparrow falls to the ground. God has knowledge of that. God sees that. God has that intimate knowledge, so mindful of us and cares so much about us. When I read the Old Testament, you know, the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we through patience, and notice this and underline it, and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You know, the Old Testament is comforting. It is very comforting. Because in the Old Testament, I get to see God's dealings with His people. And I get to see how much God thought of them and cared for them. I get to see that care. That lets me know He still cares for me in that same way. Think about Exodus chapter 3. We're going to talk about this tonight, at least this context tonight, where we'll talk about Pharaoh's statement, who is the Lord, that I should obey His voice in Exodus chapter 5. But in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, the Lord is talking about His people, and He says, I have seen their affliction. I have heard their cries. God saw what was happening to His people down in Egypt. He saw that there arose a Pharaoh which knew not Joseph. He saw that there arose a Pharaoh who was paranoid. He saw that there was a Pharaoh that said, we've got to get rid of all these babies because they're growing into a people that can rebel against us and overthrow us. God saw that. God saw him when he made their work exceedingly hard. God saw him when he took away their straw. God saw him when that Egyptian taskmaster was beating them. God saw that and he heard that. And it moved God. I've seen it. I've heard it. I'm going to deliver my people. Oh, God was mindful of his people in Egypt. They may have felt as if God forgot about us. I didn't forget about them. They may have thought, you know, God doesn't care about us. God did. He's going to show them how much he cares for them. We have those that thinking today. But the Bible says, casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he careth for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. We sing the song, does Jesus care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. You remember the disciples in that boat on the Sea of Galilee, the storm? These were seasoned fishermen, but they thought they were about to drown. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, don't you care? Yes, Jesus cared. Peace, be still. The wind stopped blowing. The water became still. The only evidence there had ever been a storm was the little water that was still in the boat. Jesus cared. We need to know that Jesus cares. And we see this care in the Old Testament. But one of the places where I like this care, or I see this care, is an unusual place. It starts in Genesis chapter 16. You remember Abraham goes down into Egypt. Now, that's a mistake, and there are problems that come from that. And one of the things that came from that is when Abraham was down in Egypt, he picks up a young woman named Hagar. And she becomes a handmaiden for Sarah. And God has made promises to Abraham and Sarah that he's going to give them a seed. But years go by, and Sarah is barren, and Abraham gets past the point of producing seed, and they're going through these stages of life, and God has made this promise, but Sarah comes to Abraham one day and says, I want you to go into Hagar, and we're going to raise up a son through her. That was a mistake. That's what's going to happen. And then after that, God, of course, is going to give them Isaac. And so now Ishmael's growing, Isaac's growing, and there's the day where Sarah witnesses Ishmael making fun of Isaac. Now that happens in every family. If you've got kids, that's probably happened. You've probably seen one making fun of the other one. And that's what's happening. But Sarah says, oh, no, no, no. It's not going to happen. Ishmael, you're the son of a slave. Isaac, he's my boy. It's not going to happen. Abraham, Hagar's got to go. Ishmael's got to go. Abraham's going to send them away. Genesis chapter 21, they go out and they're out of water. They're out in a desert, dry area. And it becomes very, very desperate. Genesis 21 and verse 17, we have Hagar. She leaves Ishmael in one location. She goes in another location because she doesn't want to be there to see him when he dies. She didn't want to witness that. Then God says to Hagar, I see the lad. I see him. God opened her eyes so that she could see that there was water. Now here is a slave who has given birth to a son that God never intended to happen. That wasn't God's plan. That was Abraham and Sarah's plan. This is not the seed line. The Christ is not going to come through Ishmael. Just a slave. Just a detour that Abraham and Sarah never should have taken. Why does God care? But he does. He cares about Hagar. He cares about how she's been treated. He cares about her son, what's happening to him. God cares. I don't care who you are. God cares about you. He thinks about you. He loves you. No matter who you are, he made you just a little lower than himself. I don't care who you are. He's crowned you with glory and honor. He made you in his image. You may never be the image of anybody else great in this world, but you're the image of God. God made you in His image. God gave you dominion. God put everything under your feet. God loves you. God thinks about you. And He thought about Eve and Hagar. And that amazes me. You know, but if we think about David, and we think about David looking at the stars and being amazed that God thought about him and cared for him, how much more should we today be amazed? You know, we can look at the moon and the stars in a way that David never could. David's looking at them with the naked eye. Do you know, we have powerful telescopes. We can peer into the recesses of space. We can look into the darkness. We can pull the stars up close. We've walked on the moon. You think about what we know today. And David's amazed that God cares about him in consideration of the moon and the stars, and he didn't know very much about the moon and stars. We know a lot about them, but the glory hasn't been diminished. It's been enhanced. And we're still standing in amazement that God cares for us and thinks about us. But you know, we know something else that David only got to see in the distance. Psalm 22 is a good example of where David got to see it in the distance. He got to see the cross in the distance. He got to see the one who was going to be nailed to that tree. He got to hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He got to hear that. But he only got to hear it in prediction, only got to hear it in prophecy. We live after the cross. You think David was impressed by how much God loved him? How should we be? We live after the cross. David was amazed at how God loved him before the cross. How much more should I be amazed and you be amazed that God loves us after the cross? That's the ultimate proof of His love. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that you visit him? Because the ultimate visitation was when God left heaven and came to earth. Oh, He visited His people down in Egypt, delivered them from that bondage. But He visited us in a whole other way. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, John 1 and verse 14. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, took upon Himself the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, if David was impressed by how much God loved him, how much more should we be impressed that God loves us? After seeing the nails, after witnessing Calvary, after reading the accounts of what that was like for our Lord. But let's talk about the final point. And that is praised. Praised. You may want to notice verse 1 where he says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who hast thy glory above the heavens? How excellent is thy name. Your excellence is above the heavens. I look at the moon, I look at the stars, I look at the heavens, and I'm amazed. I gaze at them and I just consider what your fingers have done. But I know that your excellence is even higher than that, even greater than that. I love a passage that's found in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5. You may want to pin it there, pencil it in your Bible. It says that the Levites are praising God. And this is what they did. They stood up and they blessed the Lord. Bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. Your name is exalted. It's exalted above all blessing, all praise. That means that if I bless God, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, as long as I'm on this earth, He's above whatever blessing I've given to Him. I can't say enough. I can't do enough. I'm never going to match up to His excellence. He's always going to be exalted above all the praise that I give Him, that you give Him, that every man has ever given Him. He's above the praise of the angels who praise Him constantly. And yet He's still above all blessing and praise. We are never going to give God the glory and the honor that He deserves. That's not to say that we shouldn't try. That's not to say that we shouldn't use our lives to His glory and honor. We don't throw up our hands and give up. But we understand how excellent He is. We're never going to fulfill that duty of giving God glory and praise. You remember Luke chapter 17? When man has done all that is commanded him, what's man to say? I'm still an unprofitable servant. I've done what is my duty to do. Luke 17, 10. Well, only done what my duty is. I'm still unprofitable. I still haven't matched up to it. I never will. It's not to say that I don't live the best life that I can and I don't praise and worship God every chance I get. It's just understanding His excellence and how much He is exalted above blessing and praise. But we also see in Psalm 8 and verse 9, David's going to begin and end with praise. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. We have a song that tries to capture what David was saying in this psalm. We sing it. It's by L.O. Sanderson, who wrote a number of our songs, one of our greatest song writers. And of course, the song has been entitled, "The Lord Has Been Mindful of Me." I want to read the words to you. David penned this song to exalt the name of God. This song, as well, is our way of trying to exalt the name of God in our singing. Though I through the valley of shadow or mountain or troubled sea, and oft in the darkness have traveled, the Lord has been mindful of me. I'm rich, I am saved, much more than my grief and my sorrow, much more than adversity, much more than all that I have given, the Lord has been mindful of me. I'm rich, I am saved, I am happy, I have health and prosperity. I have friends, I have doors ever open. The Lord has been mindful of me. The Lord has been mindful of me. He blesses and blesses again. My God is the God of the living. How excellent is His name.